if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Lord. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the trials and challenges of being a 21st century disciple, global server, and youth today. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward in your magnificent, pure, divine, ever whole and holy being. That vaster, cosmic, multidimensional being, awareness and bliss that is your eternal identity. That. Call it forward. Get it all the way down into the tips of your toes. Do that very simply with intention and taking a deep breath. Let's do it again, shall we? Deep breath. And just see yourself coming in as a golden, effulgent light. You are the light itself of divine awareness. You are the way that God, as limitless, formless light, shows up in these lower dimensions. You are the way that the divine creative intelligence expresses in time and space. You are the way the divine will manifests the divine plan. But more than anything else, you are the love and wisdom of the Supreme Lord. Every single soul is that. That is your true identity and reality. Just allow that to sink in and be present. It's as easy as breathing in and breathing out. Every time you take a breath, be aware that the you that is breathing is that, with a capital T. It is that Supreme Spirit that is breathing you, that is the breath of life, that is the holy breath of the whole Spirit. And keep it simple. It's so simple. A breath with intention, and you're connected. And then you can very easily exhale whatever has been vexing your spirit. Whatever's been upsetting you. You know, all problems and issues have to do simply with spiritual integration. And therefore, every problem and issue has a spiritual solution. So as we bring more and more of this conscious self-awareness present into our daily life, we find a strength that enables us to move through the trials and challenges. We just take one step at a time and we keep going. We handle things as they occur and we keep going. And we let go, and we let go of the dust of yesterday and stay present here and now. Because there's always light for the next step. And that's all we need. So you walk in the light of your own self-awareness, your own illumined mind, in the light of you as soul. So your presence, with a capital P, lights the way. And that's a beautiful image. Let's just see that. Visualize yourself walking in the light of your presence. You could, if you like, visualize a golden light filling your body and expanding all around you, and see yourself stepping out with your right foot into that light, and see yourself steadily moving forward, right, left, right, left. Keep walking and visualize the golden light that, as you step into the light in front of you, it extends into the next step. And there's always light for the next step. So hold that as a visual if you like. Work with it if you like. It's another key to walking as an awakened person. I would like to read a message that came from one of the masters of the spiritual brotherhood, one of the ones that happens to be living in the outer world today. And this message was given on January 14th, just past 2016. And the master has this to say. Welcome. Welcome to the new time, the new age of oneness. Many today are frightened by the onset of the new age. But let them look carefully at what is happening, and they will see the coming together of some of the most gifted exponents of change. Currently, there is in the world a group of wise individuals showing humanity the new situation. Among others, Pope Francis is a unique expression of the people's ideal and close to his people. The Dalai Lama, too, is playing a powerful role on behalf of the people he represents. Never before has such a group of gifted representatives been gathered together at one time to show humanity that all is well, and that men everywhere have little time to wait to see the fulfillment of their dreams. They bless each day that passes and brings their love close to the hearts of men everywhere. Love them, too, in return, and embrace them in the name of the coming one. Turn your fears into loving expectation and await the new time in the bliss which is yours by right. It is not long, not long until you see the wonder of his face, until you know the joy of his presence and his love for all. Then you will know why you are in incarnation at this special time. God bless you, and forever banish your fears. That was given through the Scottish artist and esotericist Benjamin Graham, and was printed in the Share International magazine, January-February 2016 edition. I highly recommend that magazine, because you're going to get all of the latest information about the reappearance of the world teacher and the externalization at this time of the masters of wisdom who are coming forward to live on the outer physical plane. And there's some 15 to 20, I got 20, 22 now, that are living in the world, and eventually there will be 40. So, to give you a little background, there are 63 masters that work with the human evolution. There are many other masters that work with the other kingdoms of nature, like the Devic, the animal, plant kingdom, and so forth. But these 63 work with the human evolution. 40 of them will be externalizing and living on the outer physical plane. And 23 will stay in their hidden retreats in the various mountain ranges of the world, the high deserts of the world. And they will hold the light, so to speak, hold the presence of awareness for those 40 masters that are living in the outer world. There are 7 major schools of consciousness that's presided over by each of these masters that is called an ashram. And there are 7 subsidiary ashrams out of each of these 7. And every one of you is affiliated with at least one of these lines of energy, one of these 7 ashrams. And you will find your way, you will be drawn to that particular master and that particular ashram with which you are affiliated. And so it's a joyful time. Sai Baba said that these ashrams and schools of learning will dot the world. And we will be able to take conscious initiation and conscious ascension in these wonderful ashrams. So right now, the master that we call the world teacher is traveling about and speaking, but not as the world teacher, but as a very wise person. We don't know when he's going to speak because there's no announcement. His most recent talks, I understand, were 2 that were given in India. I understand he's spoken, I think it was said 3 times now, in the United States on a major network, one of them being CNN, and has traveled to different places in the world and has sounded a practical voice in today's problems on the planet. So keep your eyes open. If you see a person that has an outstandingly practical but spiritual approach, a humane, a just approach to resolving the issues that we have on the planet, take note of that person, because that may, in fact, be the world teacher, the one who is the head of all of the masters on this planet of our particular Earth's spiritual hierarchy. As I've told you before, every planet has a spiritual group of men and women that constitute the elders, the guardians, the hierarchy of that particular planet. So those of you like myself that come in as a guest to this planet, we come in under the auspices of our spiritual hierarchy, in my case, the Venusian hierarchy. And the Lord Sanat Kumara, who is the planetary lord of our Earth, the one that Jesus referred to as the Father, is actually the one that many of us have come in with. I know I came in with Sanat Kumara when he first came in to this system. And so many of you may find that sense just a sense of knowing and familiarity with that. So I don't want to go too much into that. This is just to give you a little bit of context with what we're speaking of when we speak of the masters and the affiliations that we have on these higher levels. Today I want to look at discipleship in the 21st century. And those of us that are global servers, some of us may be in very young bodies, I want to speak to you. So one outstanding characteristic that gives evidence that one is a disciple, a celestial emissary, a bearer of light, is serving. That's the one outstanding characteristic, is that we're absolutely one-pointedly focused on service. We are above all else here in service to humanity. to all life, really. So the most accurate answer any one of us could give when asked, what do you do, would be, I serve. In fact, every true disciple can be recognized as such by the impact they make in their arenas of influence. The disciple is one who has committed his or her life to spiritual self-discipline. You're coming under the discipline of your own higher nature and unconditional, selfless service. So we're committed to that. We're committed to come under the jurisdiction of a higher nature. The soul stands as our first master. And then eventually we awaken and realize we are that soul. But initially it's like you have this higher self that stands over you and directs you, so to speak. And it's always into unconditional, selfless service. Because we're moving from the personal to the transpersonal self. That's what it looks like. So yes, indeed, that is a lofty lifestyle to take on. But you know, not one genuine disciple would have it any other way. And oh, yeah, there's those moments, perhaps, when we are so besought and so exhausted that we wonder, what in the world were we thinking in volunteering for this assignment? But they're only that, fleeting moments. Because the joy that one experiences in being a conscious disciple and in serving can be gotten nowhere else. Truly, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that deep inner knowing that we are really serving the one beloved in all of its many guises and forms, that just produces the most exquisite sense of purpose. You know, once you get that. And yes, there are also many trials and challenges we each must face that are somewhat unique to a light bearer. Now, I think you're probably going to smile and nod in recognition as a few of these are described. Number one, we never leave a place undisturbed. We make waves wherever we go, and people either love us or hate us, but no one is neutral towards us. And number two, this begins with our parents, siblings, relatives, because we tend to stir up complacency. We disrupt stagnant energy. We bring up unresolved karmic issues. And we tend to out patterns of deceit and dishonesty. And these tendencies can even start to be noticed in earliest childhood. And it's not our intention to do this. It's simply the result of the energies that we carry, the energies of light that we bear are of a higher vibration. And the light will just simply ferret out and cleanse and purge and transmute negativity wherever it's found. Number three, the woman who is bearing the fetus of a high initiate will often find it very difficult indeed. And that's because of the higher vibration of that initiate in the womb. What could happen? Well, the pregnancy can be an odd one for one thing, because the high initiate has a very direct hand in when it's born, how it's born, the precise manner in which it's born, and the maturation process. For example, one person carried a full 9-term pregnancy, and the child was premature. How can that be? The lungs were not fully developed. So it had to be kept in the hospital in an isolate for 2 extra weeks. So strange things happen. One of the 7 rishis was born to a woman, a Sai Baba devotee, when I was in Sai Baba's ashram. And Baba said that the baby would be fine, but it was born in Baba's hospital and it was stillborn. And everyone was shocked. The baby was dead. So they put it in a separate room, and 45 minutes later, they hear this wail. And Sai Baba said that he was one of the seven rishis, and that he had to be born precisely at a certain astrological timing. And that's why there was that delay. But Baba had told the woman beforehand that she would be fine, not to worry about the pregnancy. So she had to really hold in there with the faith when they said, well, I'm sorry, but your baby is stillborn. She had to hold on to his words. So I'm just saying, there are very many strange things that can happen when you carry a very high vibration in your body as the initiative is developing the body of the fetus. Now, raising an advanced soul can be even more challenging as an initiate, even as a baby has a way and a will of its own. So if you think you're in charge, forget it. I mean, you do the best you can, of course. What else are you going to do? But just know that it's not business as usual. So today it's appropriate to assume that the young children of the 21st century are world changers, world bridgers, and world innovators. And they're coming in to fully manifest and live in a civilization based on mutual sharing of the planetary resources as one global family. I predict that we're going to come to a time when there won't be any more national divisions. There won't be any more need for passport. There won't be that sense of partitioning off the world in our little camps of ownership. I mean, how in the world could anyone lay claim to the earth? The earth belongs to God and the fullness thereof. And we are extensions of God that have been sent into this world as its stewards and caretakers. We are the ways and the means through which the divine light comes in and lifts all kingdoms of nature back into unification and oneness with Source. That's what we do. Everything comes through our physical bodies and is brought into the light through our own light. So, these young people coming in, these 21st century disciples and global bearers of light, they've come in to replace our current practices in business, finance, politics, human relations, energy, agriculture, ecological management, the arts, music, everything you can think of, they have come in to upgrade and bring to the next level. And they've come in with vastly improved systems that they seek to implement. They've come in to design new architecture, new metroplexes that are like verdant gardens, that are like they were in it. The high days, the high points of Atlantis, where they were circular in design and there were no cars and all of that inside. Everything was like circular and in a garden, almost like a terrarium kind of environment. And everything was beautiful and verdant and lush. And they've come in to bring in new modes of transportation. With one single isotope of water, we could replace all of the petroleum fossil fuels that we use now to get to and fro on this planet and above this planet. It's awaiting. It's there. It's waiting. Waiting for what? When we can get over putting all these billions and trillions of dollars into killing and destroying and disrupting the planet. And we began to turn to feeding the planet and housing the homeless and taking care of the sick and educating without monetary grabbing. You know, the hand is out all the time now. What's in it for me, for me, for me? That's the lower nature. That's the lower nature, which, if it were given free rein, would destroy the planet with its greed. But, of course, that's not going to be allowed to happen. So these kids have come in to bust the system, to out and to disrupt, to tear down, but at the same time to rebuild, so they don't tear down through destruction, but to clear the way so something better can come in. And they're going to be the ones who will venture beyond the Earth and into our solar system. They will be the ones to vacation on Mars and on the Moon. They will be the ones that will be more than happy to reach out hands of universal brotherhood and friendship to their brothers and sisters from the star nations. So this generation, I predict, will put an end to global starvation and rampant homelessness, which we find in almost all the cities of the world today. They'll put an end to fossil fuels and nuclear fission and invasive surgery. And they've come in, many, awake and ready to go from early childhood. Oprah had a few of these special children on her show. One young boy knew he was going to be president. He was already an authority on the presidents of our past. I think he was like 9 years old or something. And there were very young children, preteen children, who were CEOs of mega organizations. You know, just incredible children being born on the planet. And I think it's very exciting. Now remember, these kids will be under the direct overseership, of the world teacher, the head of our planetary hierarchy, who's going by a common Pakistani name at present, common Indian name, but is known as the world teacher, or the Lord Maitreya. Personally, he just wants to be known as the teacher. And he'll be under the guidance of the cosmic avatar, Prima Sai Baba, who has come to reveal the truth that you are God. And they'll be under the masters who are then living in our outer world. I told you last week that I was summoned into the presence of one of those masters, the Master Jesus, who lives outside of Rome. I was visiting a friend this week, and he told me an amazing experience he had. He said that he was doing his spiritual exercises and had fallen asleep. And he was awakened when he heard sounds in his kitchen, like somebody was in the kitchen. And he walks out, and lo and behold, there's the Master Jesus standing there. And he was preparing a meal for my friend. Now, probably, like my trip aboard ship, he was in his subtle body. Probably he was in his etheric physical body, my friend. Because the Master undoubtedly was in his Mayavirupa, his higher manifested form. But I thought it was interesting because, as I described my experience to him, he had the same description of Jesus himself. Tall, slender, 6'2", 6'3", with deep, penetrating blue eyes, black hair. Same thing. So, keep awake. Live in awe because you're in an awesome time. The signs and the manifestations of these masters is going on all over the place. There was a day in September a few years back where all of India was shut down during the day, and wherever there were Hindu temples throughout the world, everything came to a standstill because the milk offerings that were being given to the deities, the milk was disappearing. It looked like the deities were drinking the milk. Of course, we know that brass statues and stuff can't drink milk, but the masters were causing this phenomena. Now, my granddaughter and I went to have Indian food a couple years ago in an Indian restaurant in Santa Monica, and I'm very, very fond of Ganesha, and there was a statue of Ganesha in the window. So I was standing there and, you know, talking to Leela Krista, my granddaughter, about these this Ganesh. And the owner of the restaurant came out and he said, "Oh, this is one of the statues that was drinking milk." Now, why he would tell me that, I mean, the whole thing is rigged, right? Of course, he would know that I knew about the miracle of the milk-drinking deities, and I was very fond of Ganesh, and he was obviously prompted to come out and tell me, "This is one of the Ganeshas that was drinking the milk." So, and another thing that's happening is that there is a beautiful, beautiful pattern of light formations that's forming on the buildings. That's a combination of the work of the Space Brothers in conjunction with the World Teacher. And I saw these wonderful light formations. Sometimes they look like diamonds, sometimes a diamond with a crisscross in the center, or a formation that kind of looks like a dog bone in the center, or an infinity sign. They're different formations, but they show up on buildings and on windows of buildings throughout the world. And we saw them, Commander Allian and I saw them, when we went out for a walk one evening some years back. And then he and his wife and his daughter and I saw them on the building across from where their apartment is when we looked out the window. And we were so excited because that's one of the signs. There's just many, many signs, the crop circles and the star, which is it's actually the equivalent of the Star of Bethlehem that's announcing the presence of the masters in the world and the World Teacher. And it's four large spacecraft that are forming this star. It looks like a combination of a UFO and, I would say, an orb. It's not always circular. Sometimes it's shaped like a diamond. It takes different shapes and different colors, but it's extremely beautiful. People are seeing it in the daylight as well as at night. And we were out driving the other day, and I saw a totally square cloud. I've never seen a square cloud in my whole life. And it was in a clear patch of sky, so I think that was one of the manifestations of the star. It was just so odd. So keep your eyes open. Just wonderful things are happening everywhere. So back to these new kids. Those of you who are the parents, grandparents, and mentors, guardians of today's youth will need to learn how to provide useful information. Don't burden kids with your doctrine, your dogma, your conditions, limitations. Give them a break, okay? Give them useful information that they can actually practically navigate through their life with, but don't burden them with doctrine and dogma. And give them timely, wise counsel so they don't fall into difficulty. I mean, tell them the dangers, for example, of taking drugs. Tell them of the dangers of, for example, promiscuous sexuality. I mean, things that would actually lead them into difficulty without wise guidance. Give them some reason to exert self-control at an early age. You know, tell them their value. Why they're here, the purpose that their incarnation is here to serve. I mean, to a certain extent, again, don't condition them, but help them to know that their life has great purpose and value, and that their physical body is the temple of the beloved, and it has to be honored and protected and taken care of so they can serve a higher purpose. And remember that they've come in responsive to the Aquarian energies, which governs the air element. That is why space travel and exploration and the etheric subplanes of the physical dimension will fascinate them. Aquarius also governs wireless technology, global communication, group work, intentional communities, new forms of education, and scientific inventions. Governs wind and solar technologies, telepathy by location, levitation by sonar frequencies, vibrational healing and new methods of healing, which would be utilizing color rays, light, sound therapies. The technology of light will also replace all the current ways of supplying energy to heal, to heat, to cool, to illumine, and to fuel our homes and our vehicles. And, you know, there will be no more nuclear reactors, and all the forms of nuclear fission and its radioactive waste will be cleansed from the planet. And that will be with the help of the Space Brothers and Sisters, who will land and be visibly known. Their bases will again be able to be on Earth, and they will be known, and they will lend a hand in humanity's adjustment to these new forms of energy and their correct scientific and medical and other applications. Because, as I've said before, the technology of light cannot be misused. It can only be used for altruistic and beneficial purposes, and it's literally unlimited, absolutely unlimited. So everything goes through tests. People, nations, civilizations, political heads, CEOs, people in power and position. And the tests are primarily the tests of using love or power, force or negotiation. And we are absolutely moving now from war to global mediation, where regional areas of dispute will no longer be resolved within those nations acting on their own. But there will be like a global parliament, a global debating parliament, which is what the United Nations originally was designed to do and to fulfill, and hopefully that's exactly what it will be used for. A global debating parliament where mediation, global mediation, can offset the disparity and the desperation that forces countries to take desperate means. It's said that hunger and the disparity of the distribution of the world's resources is the cause of all crime, criminal activity, and warfare. And I think that's probably true. So this debating parliament must also send mediators into those areas, find out what the need is, what is the necessity, and then have it addressed globally by the men and women who are, in fact, indeed, the disciples, the global wise ones, the councils of the wise, the disciples, the initiates, the emissaries of light. That may look like CEOs, they may look like financiers, they may look like business people, they may look like scientists or diplomats or whatever, but joining together, they will facilitate the meeting of the needs of people and nations, wherever that arises. We're having this happen right now with the refugees pouring in from Syria, from the war zones. So right now we're having a test. You know, we're having national testing. All nations are now being tested. What are you going to do with these people? So another area that causes a lot of challenge for disciples, light bearers, and initiates and such is the strong reactions that arise when a person that is of a higher vibration enters any association, relationship, or arena of interaction. Now, it can attract those who adore and seek to follow you, or to incur the attention and wrath of those who try to cause you harm and spread scandal and negative lies about you. You know, it seems like the higher the person is, the more that lower nature will try to take them down. You see this, you know, in the political arena today. They'll try to find some way to take that person down as much as they want to exalt them up. So it goes with the game. You know, if you come in with a higher vibration, those that are not at that vibration will envy and be jealous and try to take you down in some way. And, you know, you just have to realize that goes with the territory and not take it personally and do the very best you can to be a peaceful arbitrator and mediator in the situation, sometimes for yourself. Because often the target of cliques is such a disciple, you know, such a youth that's in a school situation or a workplace where they're being singled out and taunted and bullied. And, you know, it's the difference in the vibration and the level of consciousness that provokes the reaction. So the best thing to do, I think, is to, you know, use humor and find ways that you can interact with people. You know, bring them a cup of coffee or give them a Coke or befriend them in some way. And don't take offense. You know, find some way to come alongside them with friendship. And you know, the current educational system seldom meets the needs of these youth. And it's far better if they can be homeschooled in most cases, or if possible, if financially feasible, to put them in one of the more advanced private educational systems for gifted children. I know Rudolf Steiner, Maria Montessori, Krishnamurti, Maharishi, Satya Sai Baba have all created schools for today's children, the Hare Krishna community. And there will be more, and probably are more, that I'm not even aware of. But to try to seek out, you know, some place where people who are more conscious can work with the children. And the more advanced children tend to be quite tolerant and forgiving, thank heavens. They tend to be pacifists and nonviolent by nature, generally speaking, and will tend to find ways to mediate and resolve disharmonies within their own peer groups. It's like they come in hardwired in, you know, being able to handle these or just, you know, let it go off their shoulders like water off a duck. And very often their compassion and understanding gets them through the worst of the childhood, you know, bullying and stuff they have to go through. It's become quite a problem here in the United States, and I would imagine elsewhere as well. So these kids can find ways to befriend and give the correct kinds of attention that the ones who are taunting and bullying tend to be craving. Because everyone and everything wants to be acknowledged and given attention and love. And so we kind of have to come into a harmonic vibration with the people that we move with. So you don't act too hoity-toity. You don't put on airs. You don't hold yourself and deport yourself in a way that could be interpreted as being snobbish or trying to be, you know, one up on the people. You have to learn how to blend and lower the vibration to where you can come in again with an energy of friendship and a spirit of goodwill. And one good thing, the kids today really know how to stay connected to each other, which they do in a very Aquarian way, which would be through the internet and social media. But eventually, they'll be bonded through group service and a group recognition of shared vision and purpose. That's going to be quite a shift, but I think you're going to notice it happening more and more. And then these kids will find others, and whether or not they meet actually in the physical, they'll have a sense of that inner community that will bond them. Some of the other trials and challenges that the youth and all of us are confronted with is astral sensitivity. We tend to feel things, take things, you know, we feel things in the heart or in the gut or in the, we react to the global situation and sometimes tend to identify with it to where we don't realize it's energy we're tuning into and we tend to think there's something wrong with us. So realizing that when you're a disciple, when you're a world server, nothing is personal, okay? You're always either balancing energies, clearing energies, transmuting energies, or empathing the energies and the thought forms of the people around you. It's never about you. You are actually God's grace manifesting on this planet. So don't take things personally. Another thing is the military. Many of the young people today are absolutely too sensitive to do anything as coarse as going out on a battlefield with a gun and trying to kill another person. They're, in many cases, just the comeback wrecks because they're too sensitive. My own beloved father, who was a colonel in the Army, came back a wrecked man from the Second World War. It was a horrible thing for him to go through. He was far too sensitive for that. Another thing is drugs. They've just legalized marijuana. Now, I can't speak with any authority on that because I've never, ever taken a drug in my life. I came in with a very strong directive not to be involved with that. But the way the drugs are produced by and large and consumed by and large or unconsciously and without correct guidance, which would be through an indigenous elder or a shaman, and they get people in great trouble. What do they do? Well, marijuana, according to my teacher, John Roger, densifies the aura, makes the astral body very thick, and it locks you into the body so you can't soul travel. Bad news, right? You might be able to slip into an astral zone, but you can't soul travel. You're locked in your body. And the effects of marijuana last about 3 years in your aura, according to him. Then you have alcohol. Well, alcohol numbs the nervous system. It gobbles up your psychic force and energy so that you're depleted in your nervous system. And it weakens you, which causes the tremors, of course, to where you have a very weak body and then you can't hold the spiritual energy. It can't integrate properly. And even though you can leave your body, at least to go into the astral realm, it's an utterly worthless thing for you to consume. Utterly, totally worthless. Then you have premature sexual stimulation. And the danger of sexually transmitted diseases. All of the masters, without exception, advise continence and virginity before marriage. Well, that's laughable for most of us. Most of us did not go that route for a variety of reasons. But that said, it's still the ideal would be not to get that energy awakened before it can be properly expressed within a proper marriage. That said, in an ideal world, that would be the case, but we're not living in an ideal world, and we have to deal with things as they are. So the best thing we can do is give a child the information so it can make the most informed choice possible in its life. And when it's 18, you just have to realize, you know, it's going to do what it's going to do. So you have to bring in that example of your own life and your own value system, hopefully that you're practicing and that it's working for you, so they can see that there is a way that you can live where you're not dependent on these things. Finding a suitable partner in marriage is another big problem because unless you have a a partner that's at a similar spiritual compatible level, a similar level of soul evolution, and a similar ray type that's compatible with yours, generally, at least in my experience, you outgrow people really fast. You know, you're 10 leagues ahead of them, and they've stopped somewhere on the road, and they're not budging. And thank God that, you know, we who are born in the West have the option of divorce and, you know, finding a more suitable partner. But if you're stuck in some of the countries where there's heavy tradition that doesn't allow you that freedom, then you're kind of stuck with a bad choice. So finding a suitable partner is very important. That's why the fixed marriages, so the arranged marriages that the Jewish community and the East Indian community practices, are actually a really good idea, because the parents and the family astrologer works out the charts of both of these people and makes sure that they're compatible before they're brought together in a marriage. And I found out very interesting that both in the Jewish tradition and the East Indian, that originally they would have someone stay outside the door of the couple when they were getting ready to consummate their marriage on their first night. And the moment that the woman cried out when the hymen was broken, the person outside would note down the exact time that intercourse took place and the hymen was broken, because a blood covenant is founded between that couple at that time. And if you do an astrological chart, it'll tell you the whole thing about the marriage, how many children they'll have, the destiny of everything, you know, is revealed in that Vedic astrology, or the Kabbalah, I suppose it is, that the Jewish people use. But that's an amazing thing. You know, that's another reason why we would have virginity as an ideal in marriage, both for men and women. That's a blood covenant, which according to the Jewish tradition is unbreakable. And then you have another thing, gender identity. Many kids come in kind of monosexual. They're kind of feminine men and masculine women, and sometimes they feel like they're born in the wrong body, they have the wrong genitals, the wrong appearance. They're very dissatisfied with how they look, and they're confused. They may not be gay, but they may look like the opposite sex, or they may be gay and look quite feminine or quite masculine. There's all this mix-up. The reason is that we are balancing both the polarities now, the positive and negative, or the male and the female. And the ideal is the perfect blend and balance, so that you have gentle men and strong women, but you're comfortable in your skin. And eventually, in the far, 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 far distant future, there will be the merger into an androgynous being, because the soul is non-gender defined. It is energy defined, so that the energy could be flowing in a positive way, that is to say a directive way, or a receptive way, or negative way, that's receptive. And the soul is non-gender. It's neither male nor female. So if a soul comes in that's very integrated with its personality, it may not identify with either gender, and then feel very confused when it is forced to be, you know, play with dolls and wear pink if you're a girl, play with trucks and airplanes and wear blue if you're a boy. I mean, stupid stuff like that. But that can cause a real identity crisis in a sensitive child, not to mention a transgender child or a gay child. So that, too, is very prevalent now. There's more and more people coming in that don't identify with the genetic or the gender patterns that are out there. And you have to let them be. You have to let each child be who and what they are without censorship. Make a safe space for your children to be who and what they are. So there's periods of crises that we go through as we integrate the greater soul essence that we are. And I just mentioned a big one we go through in the 40s. Most of you are familiar with the midlife crises that both men and women seem to go through. Another period hits around 60, 63, when the balance of the incarnation is decided. Will the soul start to abstract from the body and wind down the incarnation, or will it take on a new life? The evidence of that is that in the first case, you would find rapid aging began to occur, and the other case, you'd find a rejuvenation seemed to occur. So there are all these things that we have to go through, it seems, most of us go through, as we integrate our divine self and marry it with our human personality. Now, I want to add here some things that people are worried about today that are absolutely not going to happen according to the masters of the hierarchy and according to Sai Baba. Some of these things I also heard him say. Most of this is from the esoteric teachings of the Great White Brotherhood through the Alice Bailey sources of information and Benjamin Krem and his master's information. Number one, there'll be no Third World War. The use of nuclear destructive mass, whatever you call it, armaments of mass destruction will not be allowed to be exercised on any continent, on any place on the planet. That will be stopped by the masters. It will be stopped by the Lord of Shambhala himself, Sanat Kumara. It will be stopped by the Lord Maitreya. It will be stopped by Sai Baba. It will be stopped by the space brothers and sisters. Number two, there will be no Armageddon destruction. The misinterpretation of the Book of Revelation and the prophecies of Nostradamus, who was only getting astral plane information anyway, has led to this tremendous apocalyptic kind of rhetoric that's out there. It's just everywhere. There will be no Armageddon destruction. That, according to the Master DK, is going to occur around 800 to 900 years from now, when there will be something of the nature of a revision of the planet. But there's not going to be a polar shift, according to the masters. There's not going to be a massive destruction, none of that. There will be no big one for California. We asked Sai Baba about that ourselves, personally, and he said no. Little earthquakes, but he said nothing that we can't handle. So I just wanted to put that on the record. I recommend several books for you if you want further information. I would advise you to read Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom by Benjamin Krem. I would advise that you read Maitreya's Mission, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Learn about the initiates on the planet. There's a whole list of all the famous men and women throughout time and their levels of initiation and the rays of their personal selves. Educate yourself so you have a broader understanding beyond religious doctrination, a broader understanding of what's going on, really going on the higher levels, the deeper levels. There are also two excellent books by the Lucius Trust that are compilations on all of the most important points in the Alice Bailey teachings. One is Ponder on This, and the other is Serving Humanity. I strongly recommend both of those. You can also read The Soul and Its Mechanism, and Initiation, Human and Solar. These books will answer just about every question you could possibly come up with about what it is to be on this earth, serving on this earth, awakening spiritually, and the process that you go through in that. So we're moving from the personal self to the transpersonal self. The conflict between those two levels is what produces the tension that enables us to pass through the chrysalis of initiation, which is always an expansion of your awareness, And it's very important. It's very important that you have that tension, that counterbalancing of the forces, that sparring, as it were, between the real and the unreal. That's what brings forward the fire of transfiguration. So all of the problems that arise, excuse me, arise as a result of soul contact and stimulation and the integration of that higher level with your personal self. And I hope this has been helpful to you. It's a really profound topic that's going to make everything in your life make sense when you get an eagle's eye view of what's really happening on our planet. So soul contact occurs and your birth of spirit. Soul infusion occurs and you're baptized symbolically in the River Jordan. Soul integration occurs, and you're transfigured. And that process is completed by the third initiation, which gives you a continuity of consciousness from birth to death to rebirth. And it gives you a remembrance of your past lives, so that by the time you're a third, fourth initiate, you have that continuity of consciousness and the remembrance of past lives. The fourth initiation is the great renunciation, which was represented by Jesus during the crucifixion. The fifth initiation is the resurrection, when you become a full master. And the sixth initiation is ascension, which only a few of the masters have actually gone through. So that lies way ahead, way, way ahead for the masses of humanity that are initiates today. So I think we'll wind it up, and we'll chant a nice Anai Hu, and God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Deep breath. Anai Hu. God bless you, and God willing, we'll meet again next week. Do your homework, stay happy, stay awake and aware, and enjoy this most fantastic time on planet Earth. Adonai.